This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Shippy all in studio today, and we're looking forward to talking to Stephen Jones coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll have a good conversation with him about what this team is right now. I mean, he's pretty solid with his answers all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows exactly what they are at the moment, and he never strays away from that. Kevin, I do have a really interesting take on what all the NFL playoff teams are trying to accomplish right now. What's most important to each of the NFL playoff teams? Let's go ahead and kind of recap who everybody is. Let's go through the NFC first. Your current playoff teams are Green Bay, San Francisco, the Saints, the Vikings, Cowboys, and Seahawks, right?
Okay.
So that's who you're dealing with there. So what's most important to San Francisco right now?
Their defense, right?
Who matters most? Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is he looking?
I can see that.
Is he a low key Sean McVay right now? Like what he's doing?
His team is actually excelling.
Last year, the Sean McVay's team excelled.
I know. I said now. So, I mean, I think you could make a pretty strong argument that he's the leading candidate for coach of the year.
Okay. All right. I can see that. Yeah. And, you know, he wears a hat well, too, doesn't he?
Huh. How much does that factor into your personal coach of the year voting?
Not coach of the year, but, I mean, didn't you see the owners all were really excited about coaches that are attractive and young? Isn't that what they all did?
I know. I get excited.
They're like,
that.
Man, how does it, but you remember the scouts in the movie Moneyball were like, but how does he wear a pair of jeans? You know?
Spoiler alert.
What matters most to the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah,
I guess it's the there's a photo out there of Aaron Rodgers hugging his head coach, and that's what matters most, right?
Does he get along?
Yeah, because if they don't get along,
send pictures from your cell phone.
Absolutely, Chris. If they don't get along, then there's no way that they can coexist.
Which is not too hard to figure out because you look back at the very first game, like when they had their struggles with the Bears, the immediate discussion was, oh, is this marriage going to work? Is this offense going to work? Because I don't know if it is. And so that's a fair point. I'd be inclined to agree.
All right, let's move on to the New Orleans Saints. Who matters most to the New Orleans Saints?
I might argue it's Alvin Kamara. Like, I know Drew Brees is the logical answer. I would also accept Sean Payton. But, I mean, the Saints haven't exactly taken over the world with Brees back, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say Kamara.
Well, you almost nailed it, Kevin, until you messed up and went with the wrong person. It is Sean Payton.
Oh!
He is to Belichick what Peyton Manning was to Tom Brady. Peyton has been like he's been deserving of the Head Coach of the Year award. He's supremely talented. Belichick always gets the media's argument for he's won it, but still deserves it angle. You know, he's won it, but he still deserves it. And then someone else wins. And Sean Payton's Saints have just two losses. They lost Drew Brees for five games, and he's good at this, right? Like, he's really good at being a play caller and getting the best out of whatever talent he has on the field. Michael Thomas is an elite talent. You know, Kamara is an elite talent.
Yeah.
But were you thinking those guys were elite talents coming out of college other than maybe Michael Thomas?
And even then, I didn't feel that way about Michael Thomas. I thought he was a good talent, but not an elite talent.
I always felt Drew Brees was, even when he was coming out of Purdue. San Diego kind of messed up with how they worked with him.
But the rest of the NFL didn't. Like, and that was because of his height. You know, I know everyone talks about Russell Wilson, but Kyler Murray can go ahead and thank Drew Brees as well for his ability to back up the money truck, because that's why he went at the beginning of the second round, because people were like,
And you know who else Kyler Murray can thank? He can thank the front office of the Miami Dolphins. Nick Saban wanted Drew Brees so bad.
Oh, man.
And the Miami Dolphins front office was like, nah, we're going to pass. He's not tall enough. Shoulder injury scares us. And Nick Saban was like, all right, then I'm out of here. See y'all later, suckers. And so Sean Payton was able to sell. He was like, hey, look, City of New Orleans, they need somebody. And Sean Payton was able to do that. But Look, Marcus Colston. You wouldn't have thought he was going to be the guy.
He was a seventh round pick.
There were guys that were littered the roster of the Saints, and he's continued to make something work because he knows how to motivate. He's from that Bill Parcells school too.
Weird question, but I think it's valid. Do you think Drew Brees is as loved, if not more loved, by the city of New Orleans than Dirk is here?
Wow. That's fascinating. You know what? Maybe because Dirk did a lot of things unnoticed.
Sure.
A friend of mine worked over at Scottish Rite and said Dirk would come in after hours at night with bag full of toys all the time.
And, oh, shout out Dirk.
And he would just put backboards on every one of the kids' doors, and he'd sit there and play video games with them all night, but never brought media with him.
I even heard that one of the things he said is I don't want media. Because I guess you hear about things, and I guess a couple of people approached him about it over the years. He's like, no.
Now, Drew Brees in New Orleans, whether or not he's asked for it, a lot of the media stuff has happened. He built an inclusive playground in New Orleans. He's very much invested in that city, and I have a ton of respect for him. So, he's a well-beloved man, but, man, Sean Payton is too, for sure. All right, Dallas Cowboys. What matters most to the Dallas Cowboys?
The ability to stop the run. That's probably not what it is, but that would be my argument straight away. The ability to stop the run will determine how far this team goes.
This is an interesting take. They say that receiver Randall Cobb's back-to-back 100-yard games are important. And here's why. In a larger picture, Cobb doesn't matter that much, but what matters is the Cowboys' passing offense is productive enough to support three receivers.
Yeah.
Even in a game when Amari Cooper struggles to produce for whatever purpose, Cobb and Michael Gallup step up. The Cowboys offense now has proven that it can keep up with just about any offense in the NFL. I agree. And we've been screaming for that for a long time.
Yeah.
We've been begging the Cowboys to realize what they have. But they were like, you know what? We are, and I don't know if it was stubborn or afraid.
Stubborn.
I felt like they feared some of the success that they could have, because they thought that they thought they were incapable of actually having that kind of success.
Sorry, Corey, fair or unfair, when it comes to complaints and changes, I'm naturally going to revert to stubborn.
Okay, all right, that makes sense to me. Seattle Seahawks. Well,
I'm sorry, and I want to hear the rest of this list. I do, but can we step back
to
the Cowboys for just 1 second? And I want to get feedback. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Where do you stand on that? Do you think that Randall Cobb opening up the keys to the passing game is it? Do you think it's the run defense? Do you think it's aggressive play calling? Like, I kind of want to know where the fans sit on this, but I also want to know more about where you sit on this, Corey, because I'm not diminishing the importance of what they just said. I just don't know if that would be my number one.
The only thing for me is play calling.
Okay.
Listen, if your play calling can defeat their defense, if you have schemed the offense and you've said, and then within the game you realize that the scheme that you came up with didn't work, but you can go to plan B, and now you have plan B, or hell, if you go to plan C and plan C was never created, but you say, we see what they're doing well, we see what we can't do, but plan C is something that we know we can do well that we've done during the season, then go do that. So for me, it's all about play calling for the Cowboys. If they can't overcome some of the things that they've done early in this season and say, we are the kind of team that can do these things, then they're not going to win. Because their defense right now isn't going to allow them to win unless they can overcome that. Their defense is so bad trying to stop the run at times. Because there are other times when you're like, whoa, what happened? Then there are times when you see Sean Lee flying past the guy while he's trying to tackle him. But yeah. Their defense scares me so much that I feel like your offensive play calling is the only way you can win.
Okay.
So that's and hopefully they can run the ball too whenever it comes time. Whenever it comes time for that draw play for 30 yards, I want to see it. Whenever it comes time for that screen play for 30 yards, that's what I want to see, man, them strike. The Seattle Seahawks, who matters most?
Russell Wilson.
No doubt.
And I was going to say, if it's not that, I'd be angry. Mr. MVP.
Does he have 2 interceptions and 23 touchdowns?
It's some ridiculous ratio.
Dak has 21 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. And I think that Russell Wilson has 23 and 2. That's sick.
He does have 2 interceptions to go along with his 23 touchdowns. That's absolutely insane. By the way, his completion percentage is also 71. So in case you wonder, like, how Russell Wilson is in the conversation, and that's the thing.
I think Dak's at like 67 or 68.
Well, and the other thing, more importantly, it's 8-6. Russell Wilson leads Dak 8-6. And I think that might be the difference that people are underestimating is the Cowboys aren't great. And not always, but more often than not, a good player or a great player on a really great team is how you get the MVP. You don't get the MVP necessarily just for being flat out awesome on your own unless you're setting records. And that's the thing. Dak is awesome, but he's not setting like all-time NFL records. And so that's why I don't think you should undervalue Russell Wilson as the MVP.
The last one in the NFC, the Minnesota Vikings. What's most important to them? What matters most?
Personally, I think it's Mike Zimmer. I would not be shocked if they said Kirk Cousins or Dalvin Cook as well.
They said their 20-point deficit against the Broncos. Oh. Because they were down that far and were able to come back, now that they realize they can do anything. Like that's like, hey, look, we accomplished that. So there should not be a moment in any game where you ever feel like you're out of it. And I think Kirk Cousins, as much as I don't like him, he didn't show panic in that game as they were down. He was very calm. And I saw a Kirk Cousins that I haven't seen in the past. Whenever he was moving his team down the field, it seemed like he had, you know, he had the idea of here's what we're going to do. I understand the plan. I'm confident in it.
I'm sure they hope they never get to this. But then the next thing you have to figure out is, can you do that against a quality team?
Well, I mean, the Cowboys, I think, are quality. I really do. But they didn't do the best things they could against Minnesota in that game. And so maybe that's going to be the difference, Kevin, if we have to lock up against the Vikings again in the playoffs. Maybe they're going to say, we know exactly what you're going to try and do to beat us. And the Cowboys are like, maybe you don't, suckers. And then they'll laugh in their faces, and it'll be a lot of fun.
This is the part I hate to give too much credit to Jason Garrett for, but that's where, honest to goodness, the execution would come in. Like, all right, you know what we're going to do, but check out the way we can do it.
From the 817, I think if we pursue balance over momentum, that's what it is. We have enough talent to win on the ground or through the air, but we have to take what the defense gives you.
Yes, I was hoping that they were shouting out for momentum and not balance. I don't want to hear that.
If you're good at it, keep going with
yes.
it.
Yes.
The thing I've always loved about Bill Belichick is the ability to say, you know what, we found a hole. We found what you're bad at. We're going to expose you over and over.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Stephen Jones, quite frankly, maybe about balance and momentum. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Keeping an ear out right now for Stephen Jones. As soon as he calls in, we'll have a discussion with him about the chaos that ensued yesterday whenever Anthony Brown injury comes out, and you have to make some adjustments to your team. I mean, like, the depth at cornerback then becomes a very big concern. Kevin, we've often talked about in baseball, you want to have 7 starting pitchers. We threw that Mike Bassick's way one day, and he was like, yes, that's exactly right, because we know baseball, Kevin. But then whenever you have cornerbacks, you don't want to ever lose that depth. Your situation has 3 quality cornerbacks. You had 4. And whether or not you love Cheeto or love Anthony Brown, they're quality starters. They're quality guys in the league. And losing one hurts, especially whenever you might lose another at some point down the road.
I feel the same way about that as I do about the linemen. I will never be in a scenario where I'm like, we have too many good offensive or defensive linemen, or we have too many good cornerbacks.
Yes.
I will never, ever, or defensive backs in general, I will never, ever feel that way.
Kevin, Jerry was on this morning with the with Sean and RJ. Let's do a little radio rewind real quick. We've asked this to Stephen Jones. And about the team, whenever you're building your team, whenever you're coming up with your roster and trying to put it together, I am a big advocate of, is this spot good enough? Is this position good enough? Can I upgrade it right now? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but this defense is missing something. What does Jerry think that this defense is missing?
What are we, seventh in the league on defense? I would sum it up by turnover. We need to have gotten more turnovers, and we would be more satisfied with our defense. And I'm not trying to be trite or specific, but the turnover thing is where I think we're lacking the most. If we could have played the same kind of defense and had some more turnovers during this period of time, I think we'd be less critical of the defense. But as you can tell, the way this the NFL is today, and the emphasis that we have in our officiating and the emphasis we have in our rules, then you can have a pretty good defense and still get some success against you. So, again, I think wrapping up, I think sure tackling, continuing to strive to get turnovers, that's the answer. We're getting the effort. We're getting serious effort. And we're getting some outstanding play. The other day, we really had a great play from Quinn. We had great play from Bennett. Collier played real well. Well, I really thought Jalen Smith played well out there the other day. And so we had some guys do some good things.
I really like that answer. I do. There are sometimes when some of Jerry's answers sort of drive me insane, but that makes a lot of sense because he's like, look, we're top 10 in defense. And just when I was about to be like, all right, get serious, dude. And then he goes, but honestly, the turnovers are really hurting us. That is a fair assertion.
Yeah, and I think if you're forcing turnovers, then you're forcing field position. And Jason Garrett's really big on field position, right? Like, hey, there are moments when he wants to win the field position battle, and then there are moments where you're like, you kicked a 57-yard field goal for what reason? Why did you do that? But there are times when they want to win the field position battle, and if you can turn it over, that helps you. You know, all you have to do is get an interception. Now you have better field position, whether or not you score. I mean, like, that's what you want to do. I loved Bassick's rant the other day about the biggest factor in winning games. All the stats we look at is points. You know, points scored, points not scored. And he just went insane about it. It's sure. Hilarious. I think did it win G back of the day? It should have won.
That's fair.
But you know, that is the key. But whether or not you score, you've put yourself in a really good position to either get your defense another turnover, force another turnover in that state, or maybe even not. Now, Kevin, you were talking about are the ticket prices for this game going up, 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 and up?
They are going up to the point where there is no other ticket that's been more expensive this year. What do you think the average ticket price is in the secondary market?
$1,300.
Okay.
Is that too high?
That is too high for a regular season game.
$400.
$720. That is almost $100 more than any other game this year. So $720 for the Patriots and the Cowboys, which makes all the sense in the world because they're arguably the two most beloved and two most hated teams. That's right. I'm going with it. In the NFL, and they're going to play each other, so it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, average ticket price, $720.
What do you think the ratings number is going to be for this game? It's an afternoon game.
It's going to be absolutely insane.
I'm going to be at the Shark Club with Shippy on Sunday. We're going to be hanging out there and partying there for the afternoon. I hope y'all come out and see us. It's a great place to watch a game.
Here's my bold prediction. Not only will it be the highest-rated daytime game of the year, it will clip and beat a couple Sunday night football games.
Really?
How about that?
I bet so. I bet so. And that's the intrigue and the allure of the Dallas Cowboys brand. Let's turn our attention now to Stephen Jones. Stephen, how you doing today, man?
Hey, doing good. How about you guys?
Well, I mean, we're always better after a win. You know, it's a more positive week in DFW, right?
Well, you know I am, and certainly our organization is, when we get that W. And I know, you know, it wasn't all together perfect, but you don't apologize for winning on the road in the NFL.
I'm kind of curious because I know yesterday you kind of had to move some things, and I'm assuming it was personnel. Whenever you learn of a guy like Anthony Brown and his situation, like what kind of chaos does that emit for your Monday?
Well, it's not, you know, one of the things I like about this football team is our depth. And, you know, that's one of the, you know, as it turns out, it's working out, you know, to our benefit here is we have, you know, Jordan Lewis there that was also manning and doing a hell of a job for us this year, that nickel cornerback position. And then we have, you know, obviously some flexibility back there. Xavier Woods, if he needed to, could come down in and play that nickel corner if need be. And those type of things. So, you know, we've just got, if we can, you know, play a little better defense going forward, we really still like this young football team. We've got good depth. Certainly Cam Fleming came in and did a nice job when Lyle got tweaked again yesterday. So, you know, we've got it in a good place. It's just we need to continue to strive to play a little better football.
Is there any particular aspect of the defense that you immediately point to that needs to be improved? Because a lot of the Metroplex is nodding their head agreeing with you right now. Is it the tackling? Is it creating turnovers? Like, where do you fall on that?
You know, I think if anything, you know, one of the things I'd say, you know, about our defense is, you know, we're a bend but don't break type defense, and we didn't do a good job of that. I mean, we play very sound defense. We don't give up many big plays, and you know, if anything, we pride ourselves in holding teams when it gets right down to it to field goals. And you know, we just got to continue to look at ways to maybe get a little more pressure, which as you know, as I said, we're very, very sound in what we do. We just you know, and don't give opportunities to the other team to make more plays, but we may, you know, as we move forward, do a little more, you know, here and there in terms of getting some pressure and making some plays on the ball, as you said, getting turnovers, getting more negative plays so we can, you know, get the teams out. Now, you know, to the defense of the defense, we did give them two short fields there early where they got their first 14 points. Mm-hmm. Between the turnover on the offensive side and then the big punt, kick return, you know, we gave them, you know, a short field twice. On their 28 points. But, you know, we still feel if we're going to be a championship-caliber team, we've got to play a little better defense.
Now, we got Stephen Jones joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. The when you saw Michael Gallup have the opportunity to step up in against the Jets, it didn't quite happen. This week, Amari Cooper, you know, he's there, and he gets that. Michael Gallup gets that opportunity. Randall Cobb gets that opportunity. They did step up in this game. Does that give you guys more confidence about what y'all can do in the passing game with Dak and that trio?
No question. And you throw Pollard in that mix, who can be a threat as a back out of the backfield. And we saw some of the things we could do with him the other day. You know, if they're going to sit up there and dare us to throw the ball, which is the last two games, you know, both teams have been dead set on stopping the run and seeing if Dak and, you know, our weapons can move the ball and beat them. And I think it does certainly makes you feel real good that you can do that. The only question mark that we want to, you know, that we have to get better on is just these, you know, starting faster. We just, you know, the last, you know, couple of games, we hadn't been able to go down the field and get some touchdowns and some points early. Both against the Vikings and the Lions. And, boy, when we do that, it seems to go a whole lot better. But that would be the case for most teams, and we understand that. But we do have to continue to be more efficient on the offensive side, especially early in the game.
Do you think that the starts can be – we got to identify better in the week leading up what we can do to get that thing going, or is it a physical thing on the field?
I think it's just making the plays and executing. I think the players are there. I mean, we obviously fumbled the ball on the first possession and, you know, didn't make the plays we need to make. So it's just, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, you're certainly looking at an offense, which, you know, I hadn't looked this week to see where we finished up, but it's, you know, at the top, if not the top offense in the league in terms of yards. And, you know, we are scoring points. It's just at the beginning of the game, we seem to struggle a little bit more.
I always hear when it's time for the Academy Awards, people talking about awards campaigning and stuff. Is there anything we can do or anything you guys can do to really get this Dak MVP campaign off the ground? I don't know if you want to announce that now, but what can we do to make sure we push him to the front?
Well, I think he's doing anything and everything a guy needs to do on a good football team to be in that conversation. I mean, he's playing at a very high level right now. He's certainly given us lots of opportunities to win these football games, and we're just so fortunate to have him. And, you know, as I said, he's playing, to me, I don't see any quarterback playing at a higher level than Dak right now. So, as I said, we're lucky to have him. He's certainly doing things. He's making plays with his feet to extend plays and then making plays down the field. Obviously, I think, you know, he's getting some offensive coordinators' attention because, you know, they want to sit in there and they want to stop Zeke and stop the run. And he's showing that if that's what they want to do, then we certainly can move the ball through the air. And he's doing a great job of it.
I know we saw it to a certain extent in the Vikings game, except for some people will say when it mattered the most, but we definitely saw in the Lions game. Did you like seeing the offense in particular kind of abandon the concept of balance for momentum and sticking with what was working?
Well, obviously, as Dak gets, you know, as he grows as a quarterback in this league, he's going to put us in the plays that give us the best chance to have success. And when he sees those boxes loaded up to stop Zeke, then, you know, he's got the flexibility to move us into plays, you know, that we can have success with. And you're seeing that. He gets better every week. He's gotten better every year. And as I've always said, he's got the it factor. He's got an insatiable appetite to want to be the best. And as I said, we're fortunate to have it.
Now, I know the next opponent you guys are up against in New England, their coach leaves no stone unturned. He watches everything. He pulls clips from everybody, much like Bill Parcells whenever he was around back in the day. And it's a very intriguing matchup here for Cowboys fans because we've kind of pointed to that as the game that was the bar. Okay, what can we be whenever we go up against that team right there? I know each week is kind of an interesting, unique challenge, but do some games bring a little extra juice?
Well, anytime you play two of the best ever be a part of the NFL, and I'm talking Bill Belichick and certainly Tom Brady and certainly their ownership group and Kraft, the organization. I mean, that's that gets your competitive juices flowing at the highest of levels. I mean, we hear all the time how people, you know, really get their A game to play the Cowboys. And certainly we feel that way about the Patriots. They're a great organization. They got, you know, probably goats at two spots in terms of their head coach, Coach Belichick and Tom Brady. And, you know, if you can't get fired up about this, I don't think you got red blood in you. So this is a huge game. We're going to be playing it on a big stage up there in their backyard. And, you know, obviously if you're going to have a chance to win this game, we're going to have to play our very best football.
What potential spots do you look at around this franchise and this organization and think we might have some potential goats in the making there?
Well, I can look, you know, we're very fond of our guys. So whether you're talking about a Dak, a Zeke, a Tyron Smith, a Zach Martin, you know, a D-Law, you know, they're out there. Sean Lees, Jason Witten, you know, all these guys are, you know, top guys. And then we, you know, it's probably a little early for some of the younger guys, but, you know, we believe in our guys and think they all have an opportunity here to put careers together that will, you know, certainly get them consideration for hopefully the Hall of Fame and then, who knows after that?
I know the contract negotiations are going on, but we don't want to forget Amari, right?
Oh, well, Amari's just been everything we could have hoped for. And he's certainly a you know, one of the top guys in this league. And we're certainly, you know, our offensive fortunes changed when he walked into the building. And we had some good ones in here, and Dak and Zeke and that offensive line. But he certainly had a lot of things get sorted out for us, and he's a special guy as well.
And with this coaching staff, you were able to add, you know, John Kitna and, you know, Kellen Moore. Have you, with the development of even Kellen Moore in the offense, what are you seeing with those guys as they grow?
Well, I just think, you know, quarterbacks, guys who've played quarterbacks in this league, much less for the Cowboys, you know, they know what it's like to be in that position. Quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, a lot of people call us America's team. They understand it, and it was something that was, you know, big for us to have a guy like John Kitna, Kellen Moore, Jason Garrett, and then you throw in Nussmeier, who's a quarterback. You know, these quarterbacks have a great feel for the game. They have to put in the extra work. If you're going to be a quarterback in this league, going to be a quarterback in college, they understand the game. And I just think they've all been, you know, played a big role in Dak's development and then, of course, our offense's success this year. But as we all know, we got a lot of work left to do and, you know, feel like this is a team that we can get the job done with.
Have you and John Stephen talked at all about who has the scarier opponent to face this week? Because LSU is obviously a monster as well.
Well, there's no question. We're getting ready, and we're going into their backyard. So well, I'm getting ready to go witness two of the best of the best when it comes to going into someone's home field. They're obviously LSU number one in the country and probably New England the number one. Depending on who you ask, the number one team in the NFL. So we're going to see some, you know, some very fine opponents, football at its best, over this upcoming weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we always appreciate the time, good sir, and best of luck on Saturday and Sunday.
Hey, I appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir.
Good being on.
Stephen Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, always, man, I really thought about asking him, but if you could only have one of those wins.
Oh,
which
man,
one would you
definitely going to be for LSU to lose, right?
Yeah.
No, it's about the Cowboys, Kevin.
I don't know, man. I told you that was the biggest spread in the history of the SEC. That would
ridiculous.
Be a monumental upset. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, in light of Phillip Rivers last night, which NFL player do you think is absolutely washed? 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Just happened. 877-881-1053.
Forgot my mic was on.
What do you think Shippy just said? Also, which NFL player do you think is washed last night?
Brett Maher.
Not Brett Maher. Last night you saw a bad, bad game out of Phillip Rivers, and it's not getting any better for him right now, man. And at this point, do you think that he is a washed-up NFL player?
This is going to become the flashpoint right here from the 936. Am I a hater if I say Zeke? Wow.
I will say, and I'm interested to know if Jeff will be honest with this or if he's going to lie about it. How much of it is Zeke? How much of it is the way that they presented their run game? So can I say that is maybe the run game?
There's no time for reasonable opinions.
No,
here.
We didn't reason.
I demand: are they washed or not?
I want to be fair and balanced on this show, Kevin.
Oh, politics!
No, that's not
the fair and balanced masterpiece.
Fair and balanced sports talk. All right, that's perfectly acceptable. We can do that here. We can. We don't have to be a shocking opinion guy all the time. Right?
Oh, man. Right. I already put my shocking opinion out there in the world, and it's Todd Gurley. I said that Todd Gurley was washed before the season started, and if you look at the way it's playing out, I wasn't wrong. People could say, oh, it's just because his usage rate is down. All right, fair enough. Let's take a look. 2 years ago, 4.7 yards per carry. Last year, 4.9 yards per carry. This year, 4.1. 2 years ago, 12.3 yards per catch. Last year, 9.8 yards per catch. This year, 6.5. On pace to have two touchdowns receiving and about 11 rushing. Last year, he had 17. Compared to where, by the way, last year, he also had zero fumbles. This year, he has three. So just in terms of him being an elite player, I think that Todd Gurley is washed.
The Phillip Rivers numbers, Kevin, he had in the last two games, he's had a 57.5 rating and a 49.6 rating. He had a 108.3 against the Packers, so that's pretty good. He had seven interceptions in the last two games. He's got 14. Yeah. He's got 14 on the season.
Do I need to remind you? Hold on. Lona, no. Let's go to cut six, and Philip Rivers will easily explain to you the problem, Corey.
It's a football game. It's a football game. I mean,
good point.
You know, if you could just pick and choose and never throw them ever, I'd choose to throw zero. So certainly don't want to throw them, but certainly I know it's hurting us right now. So obviously need to cut them out.
Yes. Checkmate. Do I need to play the beginning? Play that beginning two seconds.
It's a football game.
Yeah. What do you have to say now, Corey?
Yeah, Corey, this isn't hockey.
Well, I agree with you on that. This is the guy that's out there trying. He's trying not to throw interceptions. He's failing at it miserably. So
why do you think that is?
Because
though?
He's old and not good anymore. Maybe
can you
he's,
think of any other reason it might be? Because it's a football game.
Oh,
Corey.
Okay. No, okay, that wasn't
like,
my
that was
reason.
Obvious.
It's a football game.
Yeah. I'd be all those kids he's having too.
I do think a lot of people. Yeah, the kids thing. A lot of people do get into a lot of these answers that are coming in right now on guys that you think are washed. If you think a guy's season or career is completely washed, text it in 877-881-1053. You're probably saying that because you play fantasy football too. And you drafted a guy that's not performing the way that he should be for you right now. Based on Deshaun Watson's performance last week, people are furious. He scored like 3 points for you.
Let's not pretend that the vast majority of football opinions don't directly equate to fantasy football. I realize that. I certainly do. The 4-6-9 hot take, Goff and Wentz are both washed. Man, already?
Man, it's
very
early.
I guess if Zeke gets thrown out there, they're all not too dissimilar in terms of age.
Regarding a running back, it becomes, well, if he looks like he's slowed down, there's no way to get that back, especially with the amount of tread that's been on a guy's legs already, right? Like with Zeke, you gave him all the carries. You wore him out. You drained him. And now you have to deal with it because you paid the guy. And so I think people they jump out on running backs a lot faster than they will anybody else, because somebody from the 817 said David Johnson. Is that
Ryan or Roethlisberger?
He say a Roethlisberger?
Ryan
or Roethlisberger. Who's more overrated?
Okay.
Ryan or Roethlisberger.
I'm sorry. I thought Sean Sharif was telling about a new hybrid quarterback called Brian or Roethlisberger.
From the 830, Dak is washed. Come on. That's a bit.
What?
You're pulling a bit at this point. From the 469, Patrick Peterson. How many of you guys would trade a one for Patrick Peterson right now?
No.
Not anymore. But that's also because I'm saving up all my first-round draft picks to go trade for Jamal Adams. I feel like I've been really consistent about that.
But Patrick Peterson, is he washed, or is he still an elite talent on a bad team?
In terms of being an elite talent, and I think a lot of this is based on like where they used to be, I think he's washed in terms of being an elite talent. All right, from the 817, I want to talk about this for a second. Freaking Aaron Rodgers, only two games worth a damn all season. That was a hot opinion that I threw out at the very beginning of the season. And the overall statistics haven't necessarily played out the way I hope they would, because he has 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions and his team is pretty good. He like doesn't have the, it seems like he's not, doesn't have the capability to amass the yardage anymore, or maybe he's going 2014 Tony Romo and he's just playing smarter. Well, if that's the case, then I was definitely wrong about that.
Whoa, did you hear that, Shippy?
That's a rarity.
I've never heard Kevin say that.
Is Luca washed too?
Oh, wow.
He just never was.
You and your hot opinion. Whoa,
settle down.
The Aaron Rodgers that we're seeing right now, Kevin, I believe is an Aaron Rodgers that is saying, okay, coach, you want to do this? Let's see if it works. And his coach is like, dude, I have an offense laid out for you that's going to be very balanced. Maybe it's not going to give you all the statistics to go everywhere that you want to go, but I think it's a winning philosophy. And so far, they are winning, and that's what matters, right? Look, if we need to call upon you, if we need you to come be Superman and put that cape on, that's great. But I don't want to have Aaron Rodgers as the only thing on my team. I want everybody to have the talent. Look, and plus, how am I supposed to add talent in the offseason whenever it comes to draft time if I don't know what else is good without you?
Now, Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl 9 years ago. In the meantime, he's been first-team All-Pro twice, second-team All-Pro once, and won 2 different MVPs. You know what he hasn't done in that whole time?
Won another Super Bowl.
So I absolutely believe that he would make that spot.
But he's also put up numbers in those times. Even if he didn't win All-Pro or whatever, he's been... He's been putting up numbers the whole time. It's just, yeah, the Super Bowl success isn't coming. And don't you want that one, that feeling one more time? You're already a legitimate Hall of Famer.
Sure.
But one more time, that just seals where you stand in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly, and where you stand in all-time greatness rankings. So this is all obviously based off of Phillip Rivers. What other player in the NFL do you think is washed? A couple other cornerbacks here from the 817, Josh Norman, and from the 214, Richard Sherman. Yeah, Richard Sherman, I'm really going to enjoy the process of listening to him explain why he gets worse. Because, like, every player gets older.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get worse unless you magically play for the Astros or whatever. But he's getting worse, and he said, it's weird that I'm getting called for all these penalties at the same time I'm standing up for the players. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but maybe those penalties were warranted. So I can't wait to listen to him describe all the reasons that he's actually getting worse instead of, like, dealing with the truth.
AJ Green comes in from the 214.
That's a great one.
I just think he doesn't want to play for them. I think he's like, why would I do that? Why would I risk getting injured again?
Yeah, he said, I'll play for you if you recklessly extend my contract beyond where it should be. And they're like, well, we don't want to do that. And he goes, well, yeah, well, I don't want to play for you. So.
From the 469, Kevin is washed.
Do you guys think Post Malone has ever washed?
No. He looks like the dirtiest human being I've ever seen in my life.
That being said, how do you feel about his music?
Oh, his music's actually not bad.
I like his music a lot.
My son loves Post Malone, and I actually don't think he's... I mean, he's not like Kendrick Lamar or Travis Scott, but he's pretty good. He's not even Juice WRLD, but he's still pretty good.
In the 714, Frank Gore is washed. You shut your mouth.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe your fingers even allowed you to text that in.
What is he, like the number five rusher or something like that?
Stop it, Shippy. There is no more irrelevant player in the history of this show that has caused more concern between Corey and myself than Frank Gore.
I thought we were going to lose our friendship over it. That being said, we don't talk outside of work.
He's the number four rusher in NFL history, so can we put a little respect on his name?
No, I will not put any respect on his name. You know how many times he's ever been All-Pro? Zero. He's never been viewed as the best. He just hangs around for a really long time.
From the 817, I met Post Malone. He smelled like cigarettes and Bud Light.
He's on a Bud Light can now.
It's not a bad... Actually, I think we may have some Post Malone autographed Budweiser bottles.
What?
For Peace-a-thon. Yeah, for Peace-a-thon.
Can I auction or whatever?
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious about this. You absolutely can.
Did you just say, can I auction?
Yeah, I did.
Tom Brady's washed up. I don't believe Tom Brady's washed up. I think he still gets by with his brain and a slowly dying arm.
He gets by the same way he always has, with a bunch of smoke and mirror, the best coach of all time, and media lapdoggery. That's the way he's always gotten by.
Is Cheeto already washed?
He never was. Sorry, at this point, you have to face it. Cheeto, as it stands now, is a never was. And he's a failure as a draft pick.
All the could have been. Yeah, because
that's what I think.
From the 817, Odell Beckham Jr. is finally washed. All that talent and doing nothing with it. And
is he a victim of AJ Green?
I think he's a victim of Kitchens.
Okay.
I think that because of Kitchens and like his inability to really, you know, have a good offensive scheme and everything ready for them to do what they do best. And maybe a little bit of Baker. Maybe that some of the problems that come along with Baker.
Oh, is this the problem for the 817? All running backs with more than three years in the league washed. Might be. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Astros have us wondering, is it really cheating if every MLB team is cheating? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.